acting commissioner, and good old David. What is your title?
Director of Park Facilities.
Director of Park Facilities.
Item number 53438, Bond Act, RGIPS, General Infrastructure Park Bridges Dam. And you're here for which other item, Mike?
We're here for the next few.
Okay.
All the dam projects. And they're actually related.
Dam projects.
It's inevitable.
What about them?
Third grade jokes.
They always
are. If you remember well.
Oldies but goodies.
Okay, this project, RGIP 8, encompasses bridges at three different parks. And I have some photographs. One's at Kingsland Point Park, the entrance into the park, it's a stone arch bridge. I'll pass photographs around. That's Kingsland. We have to rebuild that bridge. The stone is separating from the arch. But if I can pull back a little bit, the Department of Public Works completed a study on all our dams and bridges back in 08. And it was a request of our department because there are a number of structures that weren't being looked at by the DOT. DOT inspects all the bridges. And there were many in the parks that didn't meet the threshold that they reviewed. So we had our Department of Public Works review those. They came up with a report. In it, they listed bridges that needed to be addressed at a certain time. So this is a phased approach. This is the last phase of this project. We've done quite a few bridges in the park system. So this particular project deals with four car path bridges at Phase 4 and three bridges at North Park Ridge. So it's putting them all together. And there's additional photographs of Morgantown Ridge and Maple Fork Outfall. And some of them are repairs. Okay. Some of them are complete rebuilds.
Thank you. All right, members, any questions, concerns on this investment on Mr. Burke?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These bridges remind me of a bridge, actually, that I had in Austin that one dark night in the middle of the day. It was a very windy fall day. The leaves had accumulated in front of a storm drain, and the water built up behind the bridge, and it pushed one side over. And we discovered that the whole superstructure of that was wood. And had rotted, and it was just waiting for a car to be there when the bridge fell. It cost us over $1.5 million in an emergency basis because it was a major thoroughfare for a number of condominiums to get over. It is far better to do this now than it is to do it later, and I would certainly support it, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Mr. O'Gan. And by the way, this is for both committees, people, so all members sitting over here can get on the list quick.
Yeah, no, I share Mr. Burton's concern since it's something we have to do, but just for the record, can we can you state to the committee what funds are expended annually to sort of ongoing repairs with any dollars we might potentially save? Because once we do these repairs, do you do any monthly, annual repair work on these things?
We do them on an as-needed basis. Mm-hmm. We have staff at all our parks. They inspect them. We just finished rebuilding a culvert down at Twin Lakes that we identified. We have actually along the hutch, and most of the projects we have pathways. We include those structures in that. So
there's a certain amount of staff time or dollars saved by making these final repairs.
Like I said, the Maple Moore Golf Course, when we get tremendous rain, the footings start to wash out. We have to send staff in to repair it. This Maple Moore will keep them intact for its whole 30 years. We'll have the brand new footings. Instead of the gabions that you see in the photographs, they'll be solid concrete footings.
Will it improve my golf game?
You know what,
man?
The answer is yes, Marty. Go for it.
You won't have to worry when you go over the bridges.
You don't want to see my golf game.
That's a good answer.
This is, again, general maintenance people, this is an investment that we either do it today or postpone it and then pay fully.
Pay more later.
Later. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. This is the result of a study that was done in 2008.
That's correct.
So just in general, obviously you've isolated these out because they're in need of repair. What is the status of like the rest of them? Are there a number more that's possibly going to be in the pipeline? Are they found to be in generally good condition, acceptable, or earmarked for a future project?
These were the worst ones in the study. And what we've done is, and we've taken, for instance, at Blue Mountain Reservation, we have a site work project there. In that site work project, we've included some of the structures that need to be addressed and repaired. The actual rebuilding ones have either already been done or they're in this package. But yeah, there is, there will be an ongoing repair to most of the structures that we have over the next 20 years.
Yeah, and Sheila, there is a booklet that highlights the necessity, life expectancy of the unit, and so on and so forth. That is available, and you can request for all bridges and so on.
Just an aside, we also use, when we're doing flip bridges, we also have a pretty successful eagle count program in the park system where we've been able to suggest and work with Eagle Scouts repairing and or rebuilding some of the smaller pedestrian bridges.
Really?
Yeah, we just finished one at Grand Pelt Park.
Mr. Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as someone who has actually been over all these bridges in Ward Pound Ridge, I think it's money well spent. They're old, they're dangerous, the approaches are not good. So I strongly support this, and at some point I would really like to talk to you about the roads in Ward Pound Ridge because they're in ghastly shape.
They are included in our current capital program.
Now, David, are we only talking about the first item, or the pictures that are going around are for the three different projects?
These pictures are for this RGI P8. Mm-hmm. The other two projects before you, the Cantico Lakes and Twin Lakes dams, those are two specific dams that originally, way back, we had included in this project.
Let's start comment on that, just in case some of the comments are late. So we're going to include the three items in the conversation.
Okay. I have photographs of those as well. Those are two specific dams, one at Twin Lakes. It's right where the Hutch Coase, Webster Avenue exit goes off to the Hutch, and there's a spillway that takes the water down into the next reservoir.
It goes under some passage there, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it goes under. There's a horse trail. The actual parkway, mm-hmm. and the entrance drive southbound.
As you go south towards the Hutch, yeah.
Correct. It all happens there. And the Twin Lakes and the Cantico Lakes dams, we're under an order on consent by the DEC. So we have started that process, finish the studies. Now we have to get the design done to get the construction underway. And the dates are all spelled out in the consent order. And we have, fines if we don't comply with those. So these two other projects, and I can send around photographs of those as well. Those we're asking for design funding this year, and we anticipate asking for the construction dollars early 2011. We're asking for Twin Lakes.
These are the same photos?
No, these are different photos. These are Twin Lakes dam. We're asking for $710,000 for the design on this one. And if the board approves this funding, we will be coming to you with a reduction in the construction cost in the 2011 plan. And that's spelled out in the fact sheet. The Cantico Lake dam is the same thing. And these repairs and reconstructions involved with the dam safety plan identified all the things that the dams were deficient in. The width of the spillway, the structure, the ability for us to lower the lake, all the valves and the sluices are rotten and inoperable. So it's a whole series of removing the trees, widening the spillway, reconstructing some of the dams structure of the dam and rebuilding the sluice gate and valves. And that's pretty much for both Kentico and
And where does the this mandate? How does it originate?
The order on consent was signed in 2009 by the county. I have a copy of it here. And the DEC had they look at all the dams, and they had looked at these. They had put a flag on the dams for the amount of trees that were on it. We went in at Twin Lakes and cleared some of them with the DEC in overseeing. We did the same thing. We cleared all the larger ones at Kentico. But as they started looking at them, there was more work that needed to be done. Our staff couldn't handle that work. It became a capital process. And in the meantime,
I just wanted to point out also there is a huge flooding component of this that really rests on the ability to lower the water level and move the sluice gate. And this is in an area that does contribute to flooding, especially the East Chester New Rochelle one, the Twin Lakes there. And so that it's not just DEC, but I mean it's water quality and water quantity, and it really does play a big factor in the effectiveness of the dam.
Mr. Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to add for the record that last year the Committee on Environment and Energy had a lengthy discussion about this with the Parks Department, specifically about the DEC consent order and the importance of us having to get this done, and the safety issue and the environmental issues behind it. So the committee was fully in support of this.
Mr. Ogaski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, just for the record, and the lake and the dam, who owns them?
Well, the Twin Lakes dam, Twin Lakes, and the dam we own.
The dam itself is owned by the county.
That's a certain issue.
And Pocantico Lakes, we acquired that in 1992 with the dam and the structures.
So that's an earth. So part of the concern is all the trees. Is that like an earthen dam or some structure?
It looks like an earthen dam. Yeah. The inside is a concrete structure.
Okay. Well, are they going to be cutting down all those trees? Is that part of the project? So what's
and taking the roots out, replacing the structural soil, is a whole an engineering process.
And some kind of shrubbery or bushes, or is it going to be just a more of a dam dam?
It'll still be earthen dam.
Yeah. It can't be
landscape. Yeah, that's it.
So whereas today, I mean, it looks like part of the woods. I mean, people driving along the hutch. I'm just trying to understand. They're going to see all those trees are going to come down, and it's just going to be.
Actually, they're not just Twin Lakes.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about Twin Lakes.
We told there are not too many left on that slope.
Okay.
We did go in ahead of time with the COT because of the proximity to the roadway.
Right.
And they assisted, and we did some clearing already there. There's still more that has to be done. But what you'll see from the parkway is a meadow. Mowed twice a year.
A managed meadow.
And you said that they went. Has the county always owned that dam? Is that a dam?
The county acquired the Hutchinson River corridor back in the 20s during the park winding.
Okay.
And that right of way was acquired along with Wilson's Woods, Twin Lakes, Nature Study Woods. Maplemore came a little bit later, but the corridor was acquired by the county. Subsequent years, the Parkway Drive itself was turned over to the East Hudson Parkway Authority, which became State DOT. So, and we do work very closely with State DOT on the recreation component within the park. There is a bridle trail, it's mostly used for runners now, part of the Columbia Greenway, and the county parks department, under a kind of a handshake, maintains that pathway. It's not a lot of effort. Unless there's the paint race, we don't want to actually clear some of the trees and things. But it's a wonderful recreation component that we've been working with the DOT. And they do things for us as well.
Well, that's the key to it. But there's no line item in any state area, any state department to help us with any of this work. This is all county.
The dam is just all county. Yep, all county.
All right, members, for clarification, we are looking at items ID 3438, 3487, and then the authorization of the Act 3488, 3489, the amendment on Pecanfield Lake Dam reconstruction, and 3490, which is the actual Act for the $730,000. If there is not objection for any committee members for both committees, I would entertain a motion at this point from Budget and Appropriations for the five items.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second by Ms. Myers for Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Borges.
Second.
Second by Mr. Jenkins for the five items.
Questions.
Yes, five items. Let me just say.
Yeah,
five items. Which is the complete agenda on Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation. Yes?
Well, just for Twin Lakes, the $710,000 will be reduced, as you said, in 2011. This is because of the timing. We're doing it now as a capital budget amendment. Reduced. But on the Pocantico Lake, that's not the same situation, is it? This is, we're just doing the
$730,000.
No, it's the same.
But this will be reduced from your 2011 request? Okay.
Mr. Jenkins, you were pointing
to
Mr. Bowler.
I didn't see that in here.
Mr. Bowler.
Yes. Previously on the board, the question coming forward to us included previous bonding. There was previous bonding on this particular project. Why isn't it part of this?
We had
left about $1,050,000 already on this project.
Is it RGIP 8?
RGIP 8.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, you certainly have. There's an appropriation history in RGIP 8 in 2000. We had $100,000 in cash back when it was first introduced in 03. $100,000 for design in 04, $950,000 in 07, and $300,000 in 08. The 08, $300,000 was to design the studies for the Twin Lakes and the Pocantico Dam.
I'm talking about legislation.
Yeah, the write-off
usually
includes whatever has been spent.
So the capital project backseat?
It should have appropriation history.
No, the fact sheet's right. It's got it all listed.
Well, it's coming in 2011.
If you only authorized $950,000
in 2007, you have an issue with that. So this is not the capital. The fact sheet is on the other sheet. It's the detail of the project itself.
Right.
So the detail of the project itself needs to be modified.
Can we just listen? I'm willing to move forward as long as we get the proper documents before this evening. I think if
you need the previous bond acts,
I think the history should be as Bob is stating mentioned in the whole.
Well, the history of the financing.
The fact sheet was updated.
All right.
It was. Yeah. Do we have the updated one?
Yes.
Yes.
We did.
Okay. The point.
Oh, in the end.
You haven't bonded. Why not? $955? Yes.
It's been authorized,
but you pay cash for these projects. You spent $987,000.
No, that's not the right
one. You got $100,000 cash.
This one's the just, okay.
We have advanced our cash to pay for this
got it.
Project.
Oh, I see. There it is. It's all.
All right.
The work for that 950 has been done at Crooked Gorge, Crane Ridge.
And the point is that the bonds have not been issued. Bob is highlighting the fact that we might have used cash. Can we get some clarification on that?
Yes.
All right, please. But I'm not moved and seconded. Any other concerns?
Wait. So let me just make sure that we're going to get.
Okay. Go ahead,
Chairman. So, Mr. Chairman, we're going to get is a written explanation from finance, I guess, on why, you know, or what we did with the appropriation, where the cash came from, and that money was replenished, because I believe that would be the case.
Are you in this?
Is that fine?
Yeah, and that's what I'm requesting from them, you know, a clarification.
So we're going to get a written clarification.
And I'm committed. No. If any members that have voted for this item have any concerns, this would be held back by myself this evening. So I just be sure of that. All right. Any other concerns or comments from the members? Otherwise, for all the items, all in favor for both committees?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. With that caveat, all the items move forward.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Connors, David, thanks so much.
Finished parks, labor, and transportation?
Yeah, a motion to adjourn, Mr. Bowen.
Motion Bo. Made.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Motion to adjourn public works, parks, labor, and transportation.
Please don't leave.
All in favor?
I'll stick around.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. That committee is out of session. Moving right along, we have two items. Actually, we have an added starter on this retirement incentive resolution. Is that what we... Are we ready for the other item that we may be placing on the agenda? Are we ready for that? Mr. Jenkins, I'll follow your lead on this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this particular item, it's a resolution that would set the... for a home rule message to allow the state to enact legislation for Westchester County specifically to allow us to have the option of borrowing for the state retirement incentive. It is an option. It is not necessarily something that we would do, but in our budget scenario, it's something that we're going to have in our pocket.
All right. On the resolution, members. Budget and appropriations continues.
So move.
All right. We have a motion for Mr. Byrne. Is there a second? And comment can continue. So second by Mr. Harkin. Mr. Agassi.
Well, just for the record, I'd like to ask if you have the information yet as to the actual dollars involved. Has the administration been able to put a number on the 400-plus employees who are leaving? I guess no one from the administration is here.
We don't have the administration here.
So just a question. It'd be nice to know what that number is. I see in 2003, I don't recall this, but I see we did do something over a five-year period. Do we need to be specific in asking for a home rule request, ask for a put a number on that, 5 years, so the state has some specifics of what we're asking for, so that's just a...
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that based on New York State finance law, that the amount of period that we could do is no more than a five-year period.
Okay, so that's locked in law. Okay, so we don't have to spell it out. Again, I would hope, Mr. Chairman, sometime... we always like to know what the impact is. It would be nice to be
right. No.
We don't have the
idea. That's a genuine concern. And again, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, members, is that this only buys us the option
of not necessarily
would do it. But again, in this economic time, the option of postponing an expense seems to be something that we would consider later on.
Assuming we're saving the cost of 400 salaries, presumably, to some extent, that was a law. Are we saying that those pension costs are, couldn't we pay for those pension costs out of the savings that we're going to be getting? It has to be more than a wash, I would think.
I think we already signed, Marty.
Right? I mean.
The truth is, from an option perspective, again, that's an option that we should have in front of us when we're going through our deliberations, so that we could decide to say whether or not we would pay that out of cash or we would bond it. It's just, again, it's just an option. And at this point in time, it's really, we can get some preliminary figures, but until we get to the budget scenario where the legislation actually gets enacted, and part of the reason that it's in front of us today, Mr. Chairman, is because the state was expected to be back in session on November 15th. By us enacting on this home rule message, today will give us that option when they go back to have that done in time for this year's budget cycle, if they indeed actually come back, because they cannot go back. Right, so you never know.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'll walk it up, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Mr. Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree with Legislator Rogowski that obviously we need to have a full discussion on this. We need to drill down on the numbers. I, for one, and will say on the record, I'm withholding judgment on the policy. But this just gives us the option to say yay or nay after we have a substantial policy discussion during our budget process. But if we don't do this now, we wouldn't have that option. So for that reason, I'll support this and reserve judgment till you commence budget discussions.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. The resolution moves forward. Gentlemen and ladies, we have minutes from October 25th.
Moved
by Mr. Jenkins, second by Mr. Burnham. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. That completes the regular agenda of listed items. At this point, with the information that has been distributed, and this is a very thick pile, people. If you want something to review anything in specific, I will place on the agenda item ID number 3506, Act CBA BPL 50, Roundtop, Cortland, at the request of Chairman Jenkins. So we will have this item for discussion. There's different thick piles of information here. If anybody wants to look at it, I don't want to spend so much paper beyond what Sally is handing out at this point. But whatever information you want to look in detail, the thickness of these items that are in front of me, you could definitely, we'll hand it over to you for further detail if you need to. But at this point, Mr. Jenkins, for introduction purposes, or maybe Mr. Burton?
Yeah, I'd like to report, Mr. Chairman, that the Committee on Housing Planning and Operations signed this item out after a very substantial discussion. A number of points were raised, and it took a while, but staff has handed you a copy of the draft minutes of the meeting of October 26th, which was done earlier this morning. If you want to read through those, you'll find that a number of questions that were asked and may be asked again have already been answered. And in the interest of clarification, I would hope that we could avoid, if members will read
any further issues. Give us a report from your committee, Mr. Burton, in general as to what the points of concerns have been. And maybe we could move forward from there.
Leaving aside issues that are not attached to the project itself, there were concerns about that have been raised by the planning board, the county planning board, on matters